Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour number two of the nation. Let's jump right into the text. Says, if we're being 100% fair, who gets the blame when things are going bad generally? If he gets the blame, got to give Jerry Jones the credit, going full gambler mode. Second goes to getting healthy with Revel and the O-line and DeMarvian Overshown. That is from Nick in the 979. Not familiar with that area code. Welcome into hour number two of the nation at 877-881-1053. How would you answer that question? Who gets the most credit for this Cowboys turnaround? We can go around the room, get your guys' thoughts. Get a lot of good texts in here. 469, just tuning in. So glad G-Bag is back. Hope you boys had a great Thanksgiving. That's from Richie in Ennis. Salute to you, sir.
Love you, Rich.
Always good to hear from you. 817, it's our longest Tolo. Lucius, Tovash is in here, says Gavin's going to ruin the Cowboys again. You know how they are over there with that who gets credit question, LOL. Yeah, no intent to ruin the Cowboys here. I guess I inspired them by doubting them so heavily. But yeah, I'm confident in the Cowboys.
What a play by me.
Yeah. You know, and I have been speaking things into existence really since training camp. So who knows? But I'm pretty confident that if this team can make the playoffs, and I guess the mathematical chances are still around just 25%, I think they're super dangerous. But yeah, how would you guys answer that question? You know, Shoddy could be number one. Dak could be number one as he continues to have his best season from my perspective. I mean, against the Chiefs, he became the first quarterback this year to have over 100 yards passing in a single game while being pressured. Wow. He made a big step. But I'm agreeing with that first text that I read you here. I definitely think it's Jerry Jones. And I thought for sure the Jones boys were going to subject us to, well, we'll just try to draft our way out of this mess. But you went and got Pickens, you went and got Quinnen Williams, and hopefully there's a payoff with Logan Wilson coming as well.
I will go, because I'm with you on a lot of the names that you said, and Jerry certainly deserves credit for this. You make the trade for Quinnen Williams. That was huge. But it's Micah Parsons. If Micah Parsons does not end up having hurt feelings with Jerry Jones, you don't get Quinnen Williams. There is no trade. Micah gets a deal done. He's here. And I don't know what the team looks like. It's probably much of the same. Maybe the record's the same. Maybe they're a game better. Maybe they're a game worse. But the Quinnen Williams ad, to me, is everything. And that has made this team now a legit contender, where he is one of the rare players that not only is great against the run, but he's also going to get you pressure. And every level of this defense has been elevated. Yes, Overshown is a really good linebacker, and he's talented. But you're seeing Logan Wilson, Shamar James, even Kenneth Murray make plays that, and is playing better with the addition of Quinnen Williams. Osa, different player now. Kenny Clark has played better. So it all goes back to the Micah and Jerry meeting that they had in March, and the handshake agreement, and Micah saying, oh, I didn't know we were negotiating, and whatever happened with him and his agent.
I like
if
it.
If that never happens.
Oh, David Melvaguda, yeah.
This doesn't happen.
Change one thing, change everything.
So I'm going back to Micah here. Thank you, Micah.
Man. It's,
I like that. I like that because Jerry's sort of falling ass backwards into a lot of this stuff,
right? Like this
was reactionary moves.
Yes, this
it's
wasn't
not proactive.
Yes,
thinking ahead.
Well, the George Pickens thing was a big deal.
That's true.
George
the Pickens
yes, move was absolutely. Great.
And
I wonder
love for that.
Is that Jerry knocking on somebody's door saying, "Hey, we got to go trade for George Pickens," or is that somebody knocking on Jerry's door?
Like, saying, yeah, we really got to get rid of this George Pickens guy.
Oh, I bet you Pittsburgh called Dallas because Dallas has done this before. They've given a, you know, third and fourth round picks for players before. You look at Trey Lance, look for Mingo. Like, if I'm a pro personnel director, I'm sitting there, call Dallas. Offer him to Dallas. See what Dallas will do. They're the type of program that will take this guy on. You know, they have a history for this.
Nobody else was willing to give up a three or a higher three,
no,
I guess.
Absolutely not.
So, I mean, I don't want to take credit away from the Cowboys, but, I mean, the George Pickens one's kind of a no-brainer after you didn't draft a good wide receiver. So, yeah, a lot of this stuff, you got to be right place, right time. But, you know, to me, it's the front office, you know. I mean, you could say health, but... Yeah. You know, that's not something that people do intentionally. They don't get hurt and then plan on getting healthy. They, you know, it just kind of happens as part of a football season. At 877-881-1053, the 469 says, hate it or love it, but it has to be your guy, Jay Jeezy, who he's saying it's Jerry Jones. When I think of Jay Jeezy, I think of Jason Garrett. I forget who it was that dropped that nickname on him, but I think he was teammates with a guy from the Giants. Way back in the day, was that Jesse Palmer or somebody? I forget who glossed Jason Garrett, Jay Jeezy, or informed us of that. Who would you give it to, Brian?
I would say it's Father Time. I say this in a way, Father Time, because I think that Jerry Jones realizes that he's running out of time. And I think that now he's taken the approach of, like, I've got to try and do something different here. I like what Zach said about the about Micah Parsons and, you know, the agent situation. But Jerry's kind of now realizing that he doesn't have many more of these campaigns left. And so for him to go out, and he, I think his aggressiveness was to make sure that if any way possible that he could turn things around, that he would. So I think that, I think looking in the mirror and seeing that Father Time was winning the game, I think that spurred him to do this thing.
Okay, I like it. Even though I feel like it's kind of stubborn, you guys not giving credit to the front office.
I know. It's difficult.
I just don't know.
Micah,
no,
they're doing, Father Time.
But they're
gymnastics.
But they're doing their job. That's the front office's job, is to evaluate players and to evaluate the other teams and try and drum up deals and business and ideas.
And it's hard to give credit to the front office when the Micah thing happens a week before the season and it wasn't planned for, and then you went out and put out the worst defense in the history of your organization for half the season and might have ruined your chance at a playoff.
And it's just tough to
know. As much credit
as
I want to give you for Quinnen Williams, I can't forget about the entire disaster that week in, week out, we're watching Russell Wilson put up 37 points. You have to claw at home in overtime 7 days before he's getting benched for the final time in his entire career.
It probably sank him. There's a 75% chance they missed the playoffs because of that negligence and that delay in finding resolution to the Micah situation.
It's just... when we talk about Jerry, and, you know, we'll have callers in the post game show, whatever it is, and then it's, well, how much of the day-to-day operations is Jerry actually running? Most of it's now Steven and Will. I just don't know. Like, Jerry, I do believe, signs off on everything. So they'll come to him, and he says, hey, I'm taking in all of the information I can. But how much of the legwork to give the credit to Jerry is it? Like, I just don't know how much of it is him, other than now he's brought, hey, this player, Quinnen Williams, we'd like him a lot. Whoever that was, whoever pushed for Quinnen Williams, maybe it was Jerry, or it was Steven, or Will, whoever that person was, that's who I'd be praising.
It's fair to say just the front office, I think, because we don't know.
Yeah.
It's probably more Steve than Jerry Bear at this point.
The 817, the front office listens to the head coach on everything, so they've been listening to what Shoddy's been saying. They've adopted some of it. I mean, Shoddy has to get a lot of credit here.
Absolutely.
I mean, Dak's playing at the height of his powers, and this offense is a real legit offense. It's not a Kellen Moore offense that'll dominate the division when the division's absolutely disgusting and then go up against legit defenses and fumble fart around. They've gone toe-to-toe with some really, really good defenses this year, and the offense hasn't missed a beat. Now, part of that is because they go and get a George Pickens for sure, so it's weird to have to divide it all up, but I think Shoddy deserves plenty of the credit here.
Absolutely. You know, maybe the turning point defensively was him going into the meetings, or at least that was the start of the turning point, I believe, Washington week. and saying, hey, maybe we need to go a lot more man here against Jaden Daniels. It's those kind of things. I think the culture that he's built is easy to buy into. It creates enthusiasm. But maybe the most impressive thing about Shoddy was his coaching hires that he went out and did.
Yes.
You know, bringing in Clayton Adams. I don't think a lot of stuff would be working with this offensive line if you didn't have a coach that was good at mitigating and playing to strengths as well as Clayton Adams has. So for me, number two, and maybe it should be number one, would be Shoddy at 877-881-1053. Maybe we can jump back into that here before too long. Mavs at Nuggets tonight, sitting at 6-15, having to go to a mile high. Coming off Saturday's win over the Clippers, Cooper Flagg had the team's first 8 points, ended up with 35, the most scored by a rookie this season, second youngest player in history to notch a 30-point game in the win over the Clippers. So the Cooper Flagg story arc improving significantly over the last couple of weeks. I think I expect him now to win Rookie of the Year. And I got a player comp for you.
Okay.
I've been struggling to project Cooper Flagg. I've confided in you guys both privately, or all of you privately at one time or another, like
late night phone calls.
I'm just not seeing how he's going to get enough easy buckets to be the transcendent star.
I think like he's going to be a good player. Work really hard to score.
Yeah, maybe a 4 to 8 time all-star. Like, this guy's going to have a great career, but I'm like, is this going to be a guy that can take over the league? It hit me as I was watching him struggle to score in the paint once again, driving down in there like a bull in a china shop, 2-foot jump stop, pump fake, step through, lay-in. This is Tim Duncan.
Ooh.
And by the way, Tim Duncan might be the biggest fail of my career, right? In 25 years of projecting players into the NBA, maybe 26 years now as I'm getting old, Tim Duncan is by far my biggest swing and miss. I was like, are you kidding me?
Look at this guy, but
it's fundamental. It's position. It's technique. It is skill, and I think it's tough to try to win flourishing in the mid range or scoring in the paint without being an incredible high flyer or creative finisher. Like, how are you going to get easy ones? I don't see him ever really make the defense look silly, right? And you're not getting any faster. So, but I think he's like a smaller, more perimeter version based big fundamental.
I like that. Because you're right. I mean, in terms of the fundamentals and just making the right play, the rebounding, also being a good two-way player,
the defense. Yeah.
Probably, I don't know, maybe I'm giving Tim Duncan a disservice by saying this, but a more athletic version.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely, yes. a better athlete. But I do like that. I like where you're going with that. I also came to the realization, and this is not good, because Friday we've got our Cosm watch party.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. I've never
Mavs
been to Cosm.
Lakers. I'm fired up. Cosm is absolutely outstanding. I went and saw Cirque du Soleil there back in the fall with, like, September, I guess it was the summer still, with Wifey, but I haven't seen a game there. I'm excited for it. But I cannot watch the Mavs and the Lakers. I can't do it. I don't like watching Luka play against the Mavs. But I do think that in 2028, Luka's coming back home.
There you go. I like what you're doing.
And we're going to get Luka and Cooper Flagg together on the same team.
Wow. That would be something.
What a day in sports history.
I think this is going to go full LeBron mode here. He's going to go back to Dallas, just like LeBron went to Cleveland, and he's going to end his career with the Mavs. He's not going to flippy-floppy and go back to L.A. or name another team, New York.
You had this realization as sort of like a hopium as you were watching the game the other night.
No, I wasn't watching it. I was like kind of monitoring what was going on. Like, I don't want to turn it on. I don't even want to watch him. I don't want to see him in the purple and the gold or whatever the hell their color scheme is. I don't want this. But just the Cowboy mention he made in the presser, just the twinkle in his eye when Dallas is brought up.
It's always going to be special.
So. He wants to be here.
Yeah.
I mean, they got to start losing. They're already winning way more than I anticipated. I don't believe in their roster. I don't believe they're a real contender. But as long as they're crushing in the regular season like this, I think it'd be really fun to stick around. Yeah. So, as always, I'm rooting for Laker losses.
Well, Cooper Flagg, by the way, I mean, when you look at his first 10 games compared to his last 10 games, now that he's got 20 under his belt, I mean, the improvement's pretty ridiculous. And I remember this from last year at Duke, where he comes out of the gates a little bit slow, and then by season's end, it's like, oh, wow, he can actually shoot the three ball, and he looks like the guy that he was hyped up to be. In his first 10 games, it was 14 points, 6.5 rebounds, 3 assists on 40% from the field. His last 10 games, it's just under 20 points per game, still 6.5 rebounds per game, 4 assists now, that's up 1 per game, and 51% from the field, up 11% in the efficiency. Yeah. So you go from 14 to basically 20, you get an extra assist a game, and you're up 11% from a field goal percentage standpoint.
And the game looks easy for him when that jumper is falling. You know, maybe Kawhi Leonard's a good comp on that as well. Bears now in the driver's seat for the number one seed in the NFC. It's unbelievable how bad this football. I mean, the AFC is a disaster. I think if you got two wins or less, you have been eliminated from playoff contention in the AFC. Everybody else is still alive. Panthers beat the Rams yesterday. That was a weird one. But Caleb Williams would be the first quarterback to rank last in the NFL in completion percentage and have his team earn the number one seed since seeding began in 1975. The last quarterback to rank even bottom five on the number one seed was Rex Grossman.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Who led the Bears to the Super Bowl in 2006. So maybe things are aligning there. They're definitely not aligning in Pittsburgh as Aaron Rodgers was asked what it's going to take to get more offense going after they scored just 7 points against the Bills. He says, when there's film session, everybody shows up. And when I check to a route, you do the right route. Said, we have our meetings every week. We have other opportunities outside the facility, and I look forward to seeing all the boys there. For his part, he completed 10 of 21 for 117 yards, third lowest total in any game where he threw at least 20 passes in his career. And air yards over the last four starts, Aaron Rodgers' air yards total.
Oof.
Have you seen this?
No.
No. I can't imagine what it is. I think he's throwing like 4 yards at a time.
Over the last four games, it's 1.3 air yards per attempt, 136 total air yards over his last 102 pass attempts. Watching them play is crazy.
It's hike.
Nobody's open. I'm under pressure. Can I check down or do I have to scramble again and again and again? It's brutal. Okay, it is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan, and coming up next, we're going to hit you with the C-note here, Cowboys news of the evening and everything percolating across your Cowboys news cycle here on 105.3 The Fan.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands, or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental, the scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now.
Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Yeah, Chief was sharing us a private conversation he and his brothers had with their grandfather over the Thanksgiving holiday, and maybe that's something we can share.
Those numbers up, man.
At a future time.
It's putting up big-time numbers.
Well, salute to the senior Mr. Chiafalo.
Yeah.
It's Chiafalo's side, right?
Yeah, Chiafalo's side. This is the guy that was doing drugs with Mercury Morris back in the day.
Still very
what a legend.
Bit of a wild animal. Yeah, total legend. We should get him on the air.
Yeah, that'd we should.
Get the dump button ready.
Old man roundtable. Bring that back from the Elfenbein days. Okay, we got 10 storylines from Cowboys Lions. We go to DallasCowboys.com. The wide receiver dream come true is the first one. These guys are, you know, like I said in the open, clearly the best wide receiver duo in the NFL, and it is not even close. It mandates that you keep this thing together because it is that special, and it's turned Dak into, you know, maybe Dak has quite a bit to do with this himself, but the best version of Dak. And, you know, if they went out like they could and go on a run of the playoffs, I think this thing's going to be locked in. The Cowboys are now a winning team for the season for the first time all year at 6-5-1. I know Wolchuk is the woolly bullish right now.
It didn't take a lot.
I've never seen him more fired up about these Cowboys.
Oh yeah, let me pull up the text that he said to me and brought us in the post game on Thanksgiving. It was great.
But I can't see them finishing under 500. I think we're done with that.
I don't think they're losing another game.
Okay, that's.
Well, I got some questions for you guys at 3:40
until February. Maybe.
save these thoughts. I got a question or two for you at 3:40.
At 8:24 p.m. on Thanksgiving night, me and Broadus received a text from Wolchuk that read, "About to go on a magic carpet ride and run the damn table. Happy Thanksgiving, boys."
How many drinks would you say you were in at that point?
Not a lot. I think I might have just started.
He was just mostly drunk, sober, just
drunk on the Kool-Aid, man.
Yeah, I might have. You know, I left the vodka at home, so once we got back to the house, I was kosher around the family.
I guess I could see it, especially if Herbert's going to be out. We're waiting for word on how his wrist operation went. But I mean, Lions, Chargers. Other than that, Vikings are punting on the season. They're Dunsky. Commanders might be something. I mean, they were pretty decent last night. Giants is an automatic win, but you know, I think if I had to call it right now, I'd say you're heading for 4-1, and you need the Eagles to lose 3 of the remaining 5 in order to win the division.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you guys. The question I had for you is: you get through this Lions game, who are you worried about? Maybe them slipping up against?
Yeah, Chargers. Chargers are a dang good team.
Yeah, they're well coached.
Yeah,
even the Commanders.
But yeah, I would say the Commanders on Christmas, regardless of what's happening with them, you know, it's a holiday. They're going to play up, and if it's Mariota, I mean, last year Mariota played pretty well against the Cowboys. This year, meh, you know, they got after him pretty good. But the division games can always be tough. I'm with you on the Giants. I don't think the Cowboys just own the Giants. Dak just owns the Giants right now. But I guess it would be Washington outside of the Chargers.
See, I would worry about. I think to me that the Viking game has got some weird elements to it because of like how that their defensive coordinator. I know they're not playing worth a damn right now.
Yeah, their offense just doesn't scare you. Their quarterback position is atrocious.
Yeah, the problem is, but the defense, you worry about them kind of junking one up, you know, and all of a sudden kind of figuring something out that like, okay, we've been watching tape. This is how you play against Dak. That Minnesota would be the one that would worry me. I could say I just Minnesota might not be able to score, but maybe they could keep you from scoring. That's kind of what I was looking at.
So with Flores, it's zone blitzes, it's the hybrid coverages,
it's
simulated pressures.
He is going to try and disguise things to like make sure that he's got guys in place to cover, but he's also going to like make you have to read to get to like there were a couple of times that. Like you say, that Dak, you know, you could fool Dak every once in a while. And then there's times where Dak is he's right on what's going on. The interception against Kansas City, that was he got fooled. They brought a blitz and Ferguson was trying to read it hot. If Dak reads it hot and throws it to Ferguson, it's a big play. But he's locked into Pickens on the other side doesn't feel the blitz. So sometimes you can get Dak to do some things. You can, when he gets kind of his mind set, okay, I'm going to throw it over here.
Yeah,
you can get him to get locked into something. You can maybe make him do something bad.
Maybe Flores gives him a shot. I guess. I mean, they started well, but how many? I mean, and I guess they won a couple of weeks ago. But I think Minnesota's offense is
they're
so
bad.
Inept
at
this point.
Yeah, they're
the ball particularly well. The quarterback play. JJ McCarthy's supposed to be back this week, but he has been on a Jamarcus Russell like start to his career.
Next storyline for this Cowboys week, we're doing the C note here, Cowboys News of the Evening, and Cowboys.com delivered this for us. A return of Trayvon Diggs. You know, I'm hopeful that he's better. I mean, because Carson and Revel still young players, and they're going to get beat. You know, I think there's a pretty good chance Trayvon Diggs is the second best corner on this team.
Yeah.
But I can't be sure of that. He says now he feels 100% good. He said yesterday that both of his knees were causing him some pain. So confidence level on Trayvon Diggs, even getting to 90% of what he was before the injury in 2023.
Oh gosh, I don't even know a number to put on it. I don't know what to expect. I don't know what version. If Trayvon Diggs is locked in, and he should be, unless he's just fat and happy on this contract he has now, he's like, I'm good. I'm set for life. But if he wants to continue his career, he needs to put out. It doesn't even have to be for the Cowboys. It's for him. He needs to put out good tape for the other 31 teams. To up his value, and that's probably the best thing for the Cowboys, because I think this thing's been headed to a divorce for a couple of years now, and he needs to do this for him. And if you get a locked in and engaged Trayvon Diggs, then yeah, I mean, 50-50, I guess, would be the best way to put it. Is he healthy? Does he want to be out there? The questions of how much does he love football have come around. Anytime that's around a player, I don't know what to think. I mean, it's... When he's locked in, sure, that's going to be a massive upgrade for you.
Yeah.
And he's done well against the Eagles in his career. If you end up having to play them again, possibly in the postseason, if they end up getting a wild card spot and you can pass them. I mean, you'd feel good. He played great against Justin Jefferson when they've met before. And you got the Vikings coming up. So that'd be huge to get him back. But I don't know what version of him you're going to get.
Yeah, I'll keep my fingers crossed on that one and hope that Revel and Carson can sort of – you know, get up to speed quickly here over these next couple of weeks, just in case Diggs isn't there. But, you know, I would worry about your protection on offense from your tackles and your coverage on defense. Those are your two biggest spots where I think against a real quality team, you would likely lose the game. Cowboys run defense allowing 68 yards a game over the last three. It was shaky against the Chiefs at times, but for the balance of the game, you'll take it. And I think it's actually under 40 yards a game from running backs. Like about 40% of that run game production has been coming from quarterbacks. And then the offensive line depth, Nate Thomas, Kenny hold it down again. How much will he face Aiden Hutchinson? Another big-time matchup, but just one pressure allowed there against Kansas City. And we'll talk more about Nate Thomas here as the week goes on, but it does not look like Tyler Guyton's going to be ready to go. On the Detroit side of it, Amon-Ra St. Brown, injured ankle. He's week to week, sounding like a long shot to play this week. And you know, you have respect for Jameson Williams, but they're also without Sam Laporta. They're tied in number one, got his back hurt. I think he had an operation on it a couple of weeks ago, and they're hoping he can return at some point. But this is definitely not, you know, the Lions offense that began the season. They really wanted to get Ragnow back because the interior of their offensive line sucks. And that's the main reason that I'll tell you right now, I'm going to pick Cowboys to win. And I'll even take them on the money line this time around. I don't need the 3 points. Both teams are coming off a Thursday game, so there's no short week advantage to be had there. Obviously, they both play on Thanksgiving. Lions are playing their third game in a row at home. And 2 weeks ago, they almost lost to the Giants. They did lose to the Packers in a game they weren't really in last week. But the fun thing I think for this, if you can start fast. And the Cowboys haven't been great at that early, but this crowd is ready to give up on the season. You could take that Lions crowd out of the game if you can get up early. And obviously, you got to wrangle the runners, Gibbs and Montgomery. They already have a combined 1,500 yards. These guys are tough. And as far as path to victory for Detroit, you got to look at what success Kansas City had. Try to get the ball outside. Try to force other players to beat you beyond those defensive tackles.
It'll be a good test to see just how far your running game has come defensively. Because you've gone up against three teams. You know, the Raiders don't have a good offensive line. The Eagles have struggled to run the ball. And clearly Kansas City has never been a team that's a great running team, whether that's Mahomes checking out of it, whether that's offensive line issues, not having a great back. But now you're going up against a couple of monsters here. So you'll get to see just how much of an impact Quinnen Williams and this new defensive tackle group and how well they're playing against Detroit. This is going to be a fun matchup.
Should be feasting. Should absolutely be feasting. I can't wait to watch it Thursday night. Of course, Lucius and I are going to be at Choctaw while you guys are here back in studio getting ready for the pregame and the postgame and all that. We'd love to see you come on up there and join us and watch the Cowboys. Coach Schottenheimer, when asked if Diggs could play safety, Brian, they asked him about that today.
Yeah, I asked. Well, Clarence Hill told me he was going to do it. And he basically, Shoddy, go ahead. I think you got the answer.
Says, I wouldn't even think of that.
Yeah.
Views Diggs as a shutdown corner sure. when he is at his best. So hopefully that's true. And then Patrick Walker with a story after Thursday's game, Malik Davis had to go take a drug test. Longest rushing touchdown of his career. He got hit with the, let's just make sure that's on the up and up, is 43, went 43 yards to the house. And I think this Williams and Davis thing gives you your 1-2 running back combination. Like, go ahead and do contracts for both of them for next year. They're good. You still have Phil Maffa. You have Hunter Lipke. You have Abanikanda.
Mm-hmm.
Abanikanda. You guys with me on that? We don't need to draft a running back in April or May or whenever the draft is.
No, you don't have to.
You liked him coming out of Pit.
Yeah, I liked Abanikanda.
This is a dream scenario. I know Chief loves this. You did running back right. Ace the test here.
For sure. Yeah, you just can't fail the test by giving too big of a deal to Javonte Williams.
Geez,
right?
Come on.
I mean, you can't let that contract get away from you a little bit. But
you're
$20 million. You're in the sweet spot right now.
$15 million?
Capitalize on that.
12.
All right, we got Krusty's Corner 10. Coming up next. Brian, where are you taking it?
Yeah, I got a question, and I got some metrics to lead into this Lions game. We'll do.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do that next.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. Time now for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Greystone Roofing. Go to greystone-roofing.com. Here he is, Brian.
Hey, hey, kids. Your old pal Krusty's going to teach you 5 new words.
You're not wrong about that.
From Dallas, Texas, number 55, Brian Waters.
Thank you very much, Lucius, for playing that. Thank you for our Greystone Roofing for being a part of this as well. Folks are super nice. I had a question for you guys.
Is it a good one?
I hope so. Chief, I'll start with you then.
Awesome.
Perfect.
How would you evaluate Brian Schottenheimer's first year at this point?
I mean, I would say it's pretty dang awesome, starting with the staff that he built, particularly offensively, and the way he's got Dak in this offense playing, the rushing attack getting the most out of Javonte Williams. I mean, I think a lot of it you have to look at the offense, but in general, just keeping this thing and the amount of adversity that they've had with the Micah fiasco to start the season, the defense playing as disgusting a defense as you could possibly imagine, keeping the confidence and keeping the team together. You have the Nealon tragedy as well that you have to maneuver, like having to do all the things that he's done and keep the positivity and keep this train on the track, so to speak. I would say he's done a total bang up job in a year that I thought they're probably going to win 7-8 games max. Now they have a chance at the playoffs and they're playing their best football right now, which says a lot.
All right, I'll ask you this, sir, Wooly Bully. Did the Joneses fall into this one?
Yes. And they've pretty much, Steven has kind of admitted that, right? He even said today in his visit with KNC, they wanted to do the extensive process that we had kind of been preaching. I think that was all of our frustration, right? Like,
they don't really go
out and interview a bunch of people. I mean, they didn't even talk to Ben Johnson, who's doing a great job in Chicago. But when they made the move, which I also don't like that they do, by just saying, okay, Brian Schottenheimer, you're our offensive coordinator, and they now hire a coordinator before they even hire a head coach. I don't love that process. I think you should hire the head coach and then let him pick his staff. But in that visit, and then when talking with Shoddy, they were like, oh, well, maybe we're looking at the head coach right now. So absolutely. Much like with the quarterbacks, I think this kind of, it's fortunate good luck that they fell into Shoddy.
Dawson, do we owe Matt Eberflus an apology?
I think in some ways, yes. When the season started, though, I did blame him. About a month or 6 weeks in, I had the realization that the players were so bad. But I think it's important to keep in mind that no coach is going to be good with bad players, and that's what he was being asked to do. For me personally, sure, I apologize for not knowing it wasn't your fault the first couple of weeks, especially after the Giants game and the Bears game. It looked atrocious, but yeah, now that they're healthy and they've added some guys, you see Eberflus is a pretty good coach after all.
Zach, what made you defend him?
I just think that fire the coach is just the easy reaction.
It's low-hanging fruit. Yep.
And I don't know how you couldn't watch those players and say that this is NFL level talent that he's working with. And his track record, look, Eberflus to me, maybe he's like 10 to 15 in terms of best defensive coordinators in football. Could you upgrade? Absolutely. I think there certainly were things where he was stubborn and set in his ways, and he wanted to do things that maybe weren't the best for some of those players, but that they had a massive talent deficiency. So to me, it was like, I'm not throwing it all on the coach. This is a personnel problem, and the front office has failed to give him really pieces to work with, and now you're seeing when you get Overshown back, when you trade for Quinnen Williams, who is one of the best players in all of football, and you actually add some talent, now he doesn't look like a terrible coach. You know, Dawson's 100% right. You can't be the reflection of you as a coach. You can't really get a good determination when you don't have any talent to work with, right? Players make coaches more often than not. There's very few coaches out there that can really make a difference in terms of making chicken salad out of chicken poo. I don't think Flus is one of those guys. He needed talent help.
Chief, I got a question for you. Mm-hmm. With the way Dak is currently playing, will that translate into playoff success if they get in?
Ooh, that's a great question. I will say I have more confidence that it will based on this season and the defenses that they've gone up against and him playing big-time football. And, I mean, these last 2 weeks are pretty good examples of that. The Green Bay game's a good example of that. I think this is going to be a good test in Detroit because now you have this team going on the road versus a formidable opponent. And see how the offense plays on the road. You can go to Vegas and beat the Raiders on the road, no problem.
But now you've had these last two games. They've been at home. And so I think that's like the one last hurdle that you want to see. Like, okay, Detroit's still a quality opponent. Can you go on the road and the offense not look like it is kind of constipated for a little while? But I don't think you'll really know until you get there and watch him perform at a high level in the postseason. I do have more confidence today based on what we've seen this season than we have in years past. Even when he was putting up gaudy numbers, it was mostly against bad defenses.
Dawson, who's the most desperate between these two teams?
You know, I'm going to say it's the Cowboys. I think the Lions are deflated. I even though they're better than the Cowboys by standings, I think they're in a spot where it's hard to find that desperation and that belief with their injuries, with how poorly they've played at times on both sides of the ball. And I think there is a massive letdown inside your entire city when you felt like we're heading for the Super Bowl and you have the injuries of last year. Like, things have gone against them so hard, really since Aiden Hutchinson tore his knee up against the Cowboys last year, that I don't think the Lions have the spirit to be desperate anymore.
You have a thought on that one, Wooly?
I do kind of lean Lions. Just because the Cowboys are kind of riding a high right now. I do think, obviously, they have to win to keep their dreams ahead of them. So both teams are desperate. But right now, Lions coming off a loss, Cowboys riding a three-game winning streak. Lions have had all the expectations all year. The Cowboys have struggled up and down. I mean, heck, Sean and Art, Bobby did a whole segment, is it a failure or success if they miss the playoffs? I think some people would look at the way that Brian Schottenheimer salvaged this thing. There's a lot of positives to take from it. Maybe,
sure.
maybe it is still a success. So I would lean Lions based on they've been on the cusp of making that Super Bowl run. And they're now on the verge of having all of that crumble.
Chief, what if I told you that the Lions, in every metric, when it turns into, and by the way, tomorrow, going to do Lions offense and defense together tomorrow for you. Yeah, I'll knock that out tomorrow for you. That'll give you a little preview. But just looking at the metrics right now, what if I told you when it comes to offensive passing the football, that the Cowboys have an advantage in every single metric.
Versus the Lions defense?
Versus the Lions defense. Deep passing, passing versus pressure, passing versus blitz, overall passing efficiency, long passing, passing versus play, no play action, passing versus no pressure, quick passing, no blitz, play action, intermediate passing, and short passing. Dallas has an advantage in every single category.
Yeah, I mean, that fires me up. I did see that they have the worst pass defense, deep pass defense in the NFL over the last month. They're giving up big plays at an alarming rate. I don't know what's really happened. I haven't really dove into Detroit just yet.
Yeah.
But, yeah, seeing that, that gives you a ton of confidence. And I know they play a ton of man coverage.
Yep.
And so I think that and they're just – they've been banged up. So, I mean, I trust this Cowboys passing attack – against just about anybody, but especially with the way Detroit's been playing over the last month or so, it's been bad. So I would expect Dak, Pickens, Lamb, Ferguson all to have really good opportunities.
The only advantage Dallas has,
or Detroit,
Dallas. When we're flipping it, Dallas offense again.
Okay,
talking about Dallas offense. The only advantage that they have running the football against Detroit is rushing against the light box. Dallas is fifth in the league. So if you play light box against them, Dallas is going to have success. And they're also fifth in the league when it comes to running out of the shotgun. Those are the only two advantages they have running the football. Now, with those things that I've said, if you're Dallas, how do you approach this game offensively? Do you find a way just to say, you know what, we are clearly better than them throwing the football and their pass defense can't handle us? Or do you have to go in there and say, yeah, we have to have some balance here? Or are you going to say, well, you know what, we're the Dallas Cowboys and we can run the ball against anybody?
I think ideally you want to be balanced, right? Crazy things can happen. If you can get the run established and make them fear that, it's only going to make your plays over the top bigger. So I would stick to kind of what's gotten you there by let's run enough to work the play action. But the great thing about this team now is if running the ball isn't working, you still have enough to absolutely light them up just by going to Lamb and Pickens. So I don't think there's really a wrong answer until you get inside the 10-yard line and try to pass too dang much.
How about you there, Wooly?
Yeah, if it says, hey, we can win by throwing it around, I think you do, and then ideally you just salt the game in the fourth quarter with the run. Because you're right. I mean, you don't want to just go tilt one way, but I think that you can gain yourself a big lead by generating some big plays with the passing attack. And I think the Kirby Joseph loss for the Lions is really one that's huge. I mean, he's been a phenomenal safety. He's been out. And then you had Brian Branch, who got suspended.
Right.
Just had to miss some time.
Right.
So, I mean, you got Terrion Arnold's one of these corners that I liked coming out of the draft.
Me too.
But he can be fizzy, physical,
yeah,
and grabby and fizzy. So, I mean, you look at a guy in George Pickens who can draw pass interference calls. You got plenty of them against Kansas City. This could be another game where you get a little, you see some laundry on the field because Arnold's a little grabby.
He's the soft drink of DBs.
Dallas run defense inside is 23rd in the league. Does that surprise you?
Well, I'd love to know in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's probably gotten quite the boost over the last three games.
You know, I mean, they're probably bringing that up. That's probably 23rd from being what, like 31st?
Yeah, being.
You know, so that's a good jump from where they were.
But the Lions are second in the league in inside runs. With your current configuration, does that worry you at all? Or does it give you hope that with your defensive linemen, your defensive tackles, that the Lions can't run the ball inside on you? Second best in the league.
The only thing that would really make me nervous is them getting to the outside. I think up the middle, you're going to be in great shape. This is a game where your other guys, your linebackers, your Overshones, your safeties, and your corners are going to have to tackle, or it presents a Lions path to victory.
They're 19th in the league. The Lions are running outside the tackles. Dallas is 30th on run defense outside the tackles for those runs.
The Lions are what you said?
19th.
Okay.
So their game, and watching them this morning, watching all their plus 10 runs, it's a lot of attack in the middle of your defense. Mm. I mean, they're going to line up, and that's what they're going to do. Those two backs, that offensive line, a lot of combination blocks, a lot of movements, a lot of traps. They try and mess with you a little bit there. So Dallas will be tested for sure on the inside runs. We'll talk about it tomorrow.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
He's Brian Broaddus in Krusty's Corner is every afternoon at 3:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. We'll be talking college football coming up in about 25 minutes with our buddy Brian Dantzel. Where are we going next, Wolchuk?
All right, let's get our fix in here. And we had a lot of ho talk earlier. We'll pay off on that tease. Punter threats and the tradition, unlike any other. That's next in the Nation.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.